escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I guess what year was Rocky III released? I guess 1982?
82, I guess, or 81 maybe. But I would think the movie and song came out the same year if it's on the album, right?
Yeah, May 28th, 1982. Makes sense. May 28th, 1982, Rocky III. Hey, woman. He's so good. Mr. T is the best in that movie. He's so good.
I used to, when I was a kid, I loved watching those Rocky movies. Rocky IV.
I remember, this was like, honestly, I don't ever remember, like, honestly, getting into a discussion with Mike where I pushed back. He was killing the Rocky movies. Not the original, but 3 and 4. And listen, are they a little bit montage-y? Or do they have the most in-depth, you know, plot? No, we all know what it is. And especially for Mike, who's like, hey, I want to see Superman flirt with Lois Lane, save the day, keep his disguise, that's Superman. Like he's okay with formulaic. And like I was like, Rocky III is awesome. Clubber Lang and then Rocky IV, you kidding me? It's the Cold War in a movie. It's tremendous. Those are two excellent villains. They're two, like, those movies are great. I know they're not as good a movie, quote unquote, or film or story as Rocky. We get it. The original Rocky is a story about a man hard on his luck. He gets this chance, blah, blah, blah. He builds the relationship. And Rocky III is just like, oh, he's a champion. He's boxing. Oh, he got beat. Oh, he's going to train in a pool. Oh, okay, here he comes beating him again. Yeah, I get it. But it was awesome. And the music, and that's really where the soundtracks, I mean, they start in Rocky III and Rocky IV is incredible.
Rocky IV,
I agree with you. The pinnacle of it is Eye of the Tiger. That's the best Rocky song, fine. But it might not, it's not even my favorite, but you have to give it the nod. Eye of the Tiger is the great Rocky song. But yeah, I don't disagree. The montage of him in the car after talking with Adrian in the house in Rocky IV.
Hearts on Fire?
Hearts on Fire is another good one. But no, There's No Easy Way Out. I just want to know why. Boom, boom, there's no easy. And he's going through the montage in his head, and he's driving the Maserati, whatever he's driving. And he's, you know, all the thinking of Apollo and all the different, like, scenes he's cutting to. Awesome. That's great. And then, yeah, in The Burning Heart, what was the song you said?
Hearts on Fire.
Hearts on Fire. Two different songs, right?
Yeah.
I think it's Hearts on. And then in The Burning Heart.
The Burning Heart's when they get to Russia. Burst.
Yes, just when he gets to Russia. Yep, absolutely. So good.
Hearts on Fire.
Hearts on Fire is another great one.
And Drago! Then
ends with Drago at the end. Yeah, no doubt. So many good songs. So many, and the montage is so great. Him working out in that, you know, the log cabin in Russia, lifting, and the juxtapose of him working out at a gym with all these trainers and shooting him up, and he's picking up a bag of rocks. Like, it was amazing.
No pain.
Love it. And he crumples the picture in the mirror. Like, oh, come on. If you don't like
Rocky. Beard.
Yeah, Rocky IV was the best.
That's a dudes being dudes movie.
Yeah. And it's also, like, it's funny, too, because Rocky makes the transition of, like, a big hulking guy in the first one. He's supposed to be this, like, massive. He's, you know, he's breaking bones for money, you know, on the docks of Philadelphia, whatever. And he's, like, this big hulking guy, bigger than everybody. And then you get to Rocky III, and he's tiny. and they put him against Hulk Hogan, Thunder Lips, and you know, and then Rocky IV, obviously, Ivan Drago's big. And like, I also found that was funny. Like, Rocky was the big kind of bulking guy, and then all of a sudden he gets shredded like a Julian salad for Rocky III. He's complete, or like a very good coleslaw. And he's got like, you know, he's down to 194 pounds or whatever he is. Like, he's just, he looks, muscles on top of muscles, zero body fat. And then same thing in Rocky IV, where he's like dwarfed by, you know, Ivan Drago. So good.
And for anybody out there, Mike is a god, and I appreciate his opinions on everything.
Yeah.
But anybody out there that views the Rocky movies as they should be all the same level of quality,
yeah.
The first Rocky movie won Best Picture. It was basically Sylvester Stallone's like magnum opus.
Right.
Like, this guy worked on that his whole life. The rest of them came because of money.
Yeah, of
and
course.
For them to come for money and be what they became.
Yeah, but they were awesome.
But phenomenal.
Yeah, they were great.
Look how many movies now get greenlit for sequels and are terrible because the directors and writers never wanted them.
Yeah, no, Rocky 3 and 4 are, I think, you know, my favorite. They're most nostalgic. They're not, we all know they're not as good, but they're still tremendous. I love them very much. 888-808-1019. But yeah, and then they got, I'm not the biggest fan. Everyone loves the Creed movies too. They're okay. I don't know. It kind of stopped after 4. Even Rocky Balboa, it has some great scenes in it. It has the classic, you know, the world ain't all sunshines and rainbows, which is a great scene, don't get me wrong. And even the other one where he's like, what's that thing about the, when he's talking to the boxing board and they don't let him fight. And he's like, what's that thing about the right to happiness? It's like, it's the pursuit of happiness. What's your point? Well, I'm trying to pursue something and nobody ain't too happy about it. Like, I thought it was very classic Rocky. It's the pursuit of happiness. What's your point? I'm pursuing something and ain't nobody too happy about it. But besides that, I thought the movie was just eh. And then even and I've talked about this a lot, I get turned off by bad scenes in movies. If the movie otherwise could be really great, there's a couple of examples. Like, everyone loves Tombstone is one of the great westerns.
You're not going to hurt me here, are you?
No, Tombstone. Yeah, I have a real problem with it.
Oof.
I have a real problem with Tombstone.
Oof.
Give me the Kevin Costner, Wyatt Earp movie over Tombstone any day of the week.
Oh, no.
Yes, 10 times better. Sorry. I will say Val Kilmer is the better Doc Holliday.
Without a doubt.
But don't sleep on, what's his name? The actor with the brother, his brother's cousin Eddie in the Vacation movies. Why am I forgetting his name?
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid is Doc Holliday in the Kevin Costner one. He's good. He's not Val Kilmer good, but he's very good. But in Tombstone, there is one of the worst scenes I've ever seen in my life. It's so poorly done, so poorly acted. It ruins, when I see a scene like that, it ruins the whole movie for me. And it's in Tombstone, it's where, you know, his brother gets shot and everything, and he's like dead on the pool table or whatever, and he's like trying to save him, and he finally dies, and he walks out into the rain, and he's like just all disheveled, and he's like heartbroken that his brother's dead, and then his love interest or whatever comes walking out into the street, and he looks at her, and then he looks down at his hands, and they're all bloody, and it's like, oh, you got blood on your hands? Oh my God, so obvious, so dripping with like, okay, we get he's got blood on his hands, and he stands in the middle of the rain, he's like, ah! It's so bad. It is, I can't watch it. I have to watch it through my fingers. I cover my face and I have to watch it through my fingers. It is so poorly done. It's so heavy-handed and so poorly done. It drives me nuts. And the same thing that happens in there's a scene in the Rocky movie, in the Creed movies, that I just can't get over. When he's training and he's running around and Rocky's like sick with cancer and he's like running and then all of a sudden bikers start following him. Like guys on motorcycles, and then he runs to Rocky's house, and he's outside Rocky's house, and there's Rocky, like, you know, upstairs with an IV attached to him, going through treatment or whatever in the top, and he's like waving down, and he's jumping up, and they're doing wheelies around him. Why is there a motorcycle group? Why is Hell's Angels around Creed doing popping wheelies? Like, I'll never understand it till the day I die.
I feel like that scene, too. I mean, if it was real life and Rocky was going through what he was going through and you pull up with a bunch of motorcycles outside his house, I'm pissed.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. Like, but they're doing wheelies around him. Like, I understand in the original Rocky, all of a sudden, like Forrest Gump, everyone starts following him and running with him. Okay. probably a bit much. Nobody would actually do that. But like in this, why did all of a sudden a motorcycle gang like comes up behind him and they're popping wheelies around him in a circle while he's jumping up and down? I'm like, can you imagine if there was no music to this and you were just on the street watching it? And this guy is just jumping up and down. It's like quiet and just seeing them do wheelies around him. And Rocky's up there all sick with cancer waving down. I'm like, what is this?
You're just trying to get a bagel.
That's I could just see someone like, you know, and of course, you know, someone in Rocky movies is smoking a cigarette by a lit trash can on fire singing a cappella. And he's just like, what the hell is going on? I don't know. I just, those movies, it gets ruined for me. 888-808-1019. But we've talked enough about all the ancillary stuff. Let's talk about sports. And where we opened the show was, as obviously, baseball's back today. Finally, we've gone a full week without games to react to, outside of obviously we had the All-Star game and the swing-off, which is not coming to Major League Baseball. It's not coming to an every game. There's no way games will actually be ended by a swing-off. No way in hell. As great as it was in the All-Star game, that's where it belongs. But we are finally getting baseball back, and I specifically talked a little Mets to open the show because when the news broke today that Manaea is going to start tonight's game and start the second half of the season, and now, you know, just doing quick math, we'll have the most starts, as long as he stays healthy, of every pitcher in the second half. He's starting the first one. He'll have the most starts moving forward. He feels good enough to come right back on normal rest from Sunday, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Back on normal rest. He felt good. He's back. They're going him and Peterson on Saturday for David Wright Day and possibly the idea of seeing Lindor named captain, and we've seen this Met team feed off that kind of stuff, whether it's Grimace or whatever else. Like, and just the idea that Manaea is back and healthy. Senga, we saw a pitch. They're going to push him back a little bit. And the two of them are back and healthy. The rotation is exactly what you thought it was going to be finally heading into the season with, obviously, Manaea and Senga and Peterson and Clay Holmes and Montas. So you're ready to go with the rotation you were hoping to enter the season with. Everybody's back. Vientos got hot heading into the All-Star break. Hopefully he can carry that out of the second half. You know that, as Jeff Passan was talking about today, that he expects Juan Soto to have a monster half. And, you know, with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder coming off the All-Star break, not being an All-Star this year when clearly he was deserving. And I don't care what you say, any bitter Yankee fan or whoever else wants to tell me he's not an All-Star, you're crazy. He absolutely should have been an All-Star and absolutely should have been in the game. But maybe now that's a perfect thing for the Mets where maybe he's pissed off. And we talk about guys playing to their baseball cards. Well, if he's going to play to his baseball card and have the typical numbers he has with runners in scoring position, Juan Soto's about to go off and carry the Mets. Because he's hitting under 200, and he has traditionally been one of the better hitters in baseball with runners in scoring position. So you've got that to start the season. Manaea on the mound. Vientos hopefully coming off a good Kansas City series and carrying that into the second half. A pissed off, annoyed Juan Soto off of not making his money at the All-Star game. I'm sorry, I had to throw it in there. I am a Yankee fan. I have to act like it sometimes. And you look at this team right now, and then you've got the emotional Saturday of David Wright Day. And possibly after the leaked video that we talked about yesterday, the idea that there could be something in the works to have Lindor being announced the next captain of the New York Mets in front of an entire packed building on a Saturday afternoon. This is, and then they get the Reds and the Angels before they head out west for a couple of series against San Francisco and San Diego before July 31st trade deadline. Like, this is the next 2 weeks of Met baseball, and the second half has a real chance to be A, really good, and B, like an opportunity to do everything you could possibly. It's like an opportunity to embrace, get the fans back into it, create some momentum, have a moment that this team feeds off of, get a Juan Soto back, get his pitching staff back, and go and have a really important run where they are now heading into a trade deadline for the first time with David Stearns under the edict of championship or bust. And you can't afford, you got to win this division. You go out and sign Juan Soto, you got to win the division. You got to go make a run in the postseason. This second half is going to be important for both teams, including the Mets. This is not just the Yankees that have to have an important offseason. It's not just the Yankees that have to have a good trade deadline. It's not just the Yankees that have championship or bust mentality anymore. Everything belongs to both. And it starts tonight with Manaea on the mound. Think of the boost this team gets tonight heading into Saturday and David Wright Day. If Manaea goes out there and throws seven shutty, Manaea goes out there and dominates and misses bats and gives you a win, and Juan Soto hits a home run, or Vientos hits the game, gets the biggest hit of the game. Think of the impact this could have, this weekend could have, this second half could have on this team that right now is starting to feel like it's finding itself. You got Budo coming back from his illness or whatever it was. You've got Brooks Raley kind of hopefully joining the bullpen as a left-handed arm that they're in desperate need of. And the trade deadline to go and get arms. Like, this is an opportunity right here for this Met team to build off some things, create a real impactful moment that you can point back to. And the Mets are kind of like that, right? They have the grimace. They have the meeting. They have all these things of last year moments and different things you can point to that created juice for this team. I think this weekend has an opportunity to be that. This is a big, big, big weekend for the New York Mets, and it's getting started with Manaea back on the mound. And it's a huge win. Big game tonight for the New York Mets. Now, the Yankees, on the other hand, while it's obviously a big game and you're looking to get off to a good start, you kind of turn things around with the five-game winning streak, but you did lose the last two games against the Cubs heading into the break. They haven't announced their pitching, but I don't think it'll be Max Fried with his blister. I think they're going to give him plenty of time. You could see Rodon start it because it's not the Braves. Now, you want to win these games, but it's not the Braves series that they start with this weekend that you're looking towards. It's the next series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Three games in Toronto. The Blue Jays currently hold a two-game lead in the division. They swept the Yankees in a four-game set, and more than that, kicked the ever-loving crap out of them for 4 days in every which way. Scored a ton of runs, shut them down offensively, like just everything in every way. And, you know, a very familiar foe in Springer did it to them. And right now the Blue Jays feel like they play very well against the Yankees. They own the Yankees, especially in that building. That is a huge series for the Yankees. And you come out of the second half, turned it around a little bit, won five of your last seven games, swept the Mariners. The pitching's been better.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The offense has woken up. You at least got Williams and Weaver back. And this is a stretch now for them, too, heading into this deadline where they have to get answers. But they got to come out of the break hot, and they have arguably the biggest series of the year following the Braves against the Blue Jays, who have a two-game lead in the division, with the Red Sox, who are only a game behind, two in the loss, but tied with wins after they've won 10 in a row. So the division that was once left for dead, not only just for the Yankees to win, but also because the rest of the team sucked only a month ago, now the Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Yankees are all playoff teams as it sits right now. The Red Sox have won 10 in a row. The Blue Jays hold a two-game lead, and the Yankees will play an enormous series in a couple of days, and you need Max Fried in that series, you need Rodon in that series, and you need this bullpen to figure it out, because right now there are two arms you trust as Brian Cashman gets ready for the trade deadline. And for me, we didn't really get into this as much today about what you need from the Yankees. We talked about Juan Soto with the Mets and his second half with the runners in scoring position, Vientos, and hopefully what he gives you in the second half is you're desperate for some kind of someone to step up and play third. And he gave you a little bit of an, obviously last year gave you so much, and maybe a little bit of the Kansas City series makes you think that maybe that guy could be in line to return in the second half. And obviously Manaea and Senga and the rotation for the Yankees. To me, if we're not talking trade deadline and upgrades at third base and upgrades in the rotation and upgrades in the bullpen, for me, I am really looking forward to two guys for me in the lineup who I think have to really start having the major impact, and some of them already have. But I look to Giancarlo Stanton, who for me was starting to find it after what he typically does, come back from injury and struggle. He has four home runs in his last nine games, and they struggle against good left-handed pitching. He has got to be a force in the second half. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be a force. He's got to be that protection bat for Judge, who's obviously, you know, anytime you talk important with the Yankees, you could do nothing but Judge. We get it. Bellinger's been good. We know what they needed third. We've gone over a million times the struggles of Anthony Volpe. That would be a huge pickup for them, too, if a week off has really helped him mentally, and we'll get to that as well. But to me, two players I'm really looking forward to seeing in the second half. Stanton is one, and I think the other is Jason Dominguez, because they're talking about possibly trading, selling while buying, and trading Grisham. And if they do that, welcome to playing everyday Jason Dominguez. He's right now the leadoff hitter against right-handed pitching. He has really started to take off, but he can bring so much to this team offensively on the base paths. And while we've seen it for a little bit, it's only just scratching the surface of what he's capable of. And if he can give you that for the entire second half, bring a different element to the top of the order, steal some bases, hit the way he's been hitting, I really, if the two of them can give you sustained success in the second half, Stanton and Dominguez, you know you need it from Bellinger. You know you need it from Judge. But those two guys in particular, I really feel like can really make a huge impact in the second half. Wells is another name that was when they decided to put him at cleanup last year, impacted this lineup in a major way, and he's really started to come on the last 2 weeks heading into the All-Star break. And then there's Anthony Volpe, who hopefully the break helped him a lot. We've talked about his approach. We did this a bunch yesterday with the Alex Rodriguez comments and whether or not he's capable of hitting 280 or whatever the case may be. But clearly, I think he's in his own head. And nobody needed the All-Star break more than Anthony Volpe. So we'll see how he comes out in the second half. Just to be an average hitter and fix his defensive issues would be huge for this team. But I don't think he's capable of being a force in the lineup. And that's what I'm looking for in the second half. And Giancarlo Stanton and Jason Dominguez have an opportunity to do that. And we haven't seen it all that much from Dominguez, and we've hardly seen it at all from Stanton this year. 888-808-1019. Let's get to some calls here before we break. Mike in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, brother. How are we doing today,
good,
man?
How are you, buddy? Good.
I'm better now. I just punched out. I was starving. I told Big Zoo what you want. He didn't want any White Castle, so I'm sorry. I didn't know if you wanted anything, but I'm eating them now. But yeah, isn't there nothing better than White Castle at 3:30 in the morning? It's just waking up at 7 in the morning when you got an issue. But
yep.
Second half of the season, man. Really looking forward to the Metsies. A lot of people, I think, are hitting maybe not the panic button, but trying to hit the button. Oh, what can we get? What can we get? What can we get? And I think what we can get is what we have. You know, we just got to get hot. You know what I mean? Like, guys got to wake up a little bit. I mean, McNeil's been hitting, but Nimmo's on. He's off. Vientos been off, you know. But the key, I think, and he, you know, he's a player. Like, I call these three players. I know he hasn't proven as much as the other two, but they're like the same player to me as O'Neill, Cruz, Dela Cruz.
Yeah, no, Ellie Dela Cruz and O'Neill Cruz are very similar, both in stature, body type. They've already moved O'Neill Cruz off of shortstop and put him in the outfield in Pittsburgh, but they are very similar with, you know, immense talent that just jumps off the page.
But the third one that's coming right behind him, and I think he's going to get hot. I know he's going to get hot because he's gotten hot under the radar since the Yankee series, is Mauricio. You know what I mean? This kid is going to be something else, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. He's got the ability. He's also looked overmatched at times. Very good defensively.
Any young guy will. You know.
Yeah.
But I think his maturation was beginning to happen before Vientos. But then when he got hurt in the classic, the baseball thing in the off season in the winter ball, you know, it kind of put him back. And then they put Vientos in the front, you know, mm-hmm. And then Vientos off last year. But it was supposed to be Mauricio last year, then Vientos and Beatty. You know, that's how good this kid is. You know, that's why I've been waiting.
Well, I mean, I understand that, and thank you for the call, and I appreciate it. I'm up against the break here. But just because he was a higher-touted prospect, Beatty was a higher-touted prospect than Vientos, and that did not pan out last year in that order. I think Beatty has been a higher prospect than Mauricio. I don't think Mauricio has been as high as Beatty was on any of the major league lists. He was the top third base prospect in all of baseball. So, yes, immense talent. You see the power, the speed. He's able to play defense at third base. But I'm not expecting the jump from him this year. He just hasn't had I'd rather see, I have more faith in Vientos being that guy every day. And I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, he does have ability, no doubt, and it's a positive future for the Mets there with him. And right now he's playing the best third base, and if he hits, he might be your guy. But I really would love to see it be Vientos because we saw it last year into the postseason how great he was. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. Got you for another hour and a half for this five-hour midnight ride as we take you to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. We'll be right back with your calls next. Well, we've had a theme with every song today. In honor of baseball coming back and kind of the midway point of the baseball season and the summer, I thought we would do summer hits. So hits, number one songs in the country for this date. Well, Marco gave me the look. You don't like big butts, Marco? Get the hell out of here. You know you do.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, of course he does. That's not the only song, too. I love Fat Bottom Girls from Queen, one of my favorite songs. Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round. But anyway, so that was the 1992, July 18th, 1992, number one song in the country was I Like Big Butts, and I cannot lie.
America loves big butts.
America loves big butts. That is true. And believe it or not, I don't have one. I'm very top heavy. Very top heavy.
You're not Kyle Raleigh-like?
No, I'm not Kyle Raleigh-like at all. The legs and butt, there's nothing there.
Kyle Raleigh. It's like thick. A prime Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Thick. Boomer would call him a thick son of a bitch. He'd make a good quarterback, that Kyle Raleigh. I still don't know if the Yes Network needs to zoom in on him the way they do all the time. But 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you. I Like Big Butts, the number one song. Today, 1992. Let's talk about Dame Lillard just for a second here. As, you know, he was bought out by Milwaukee, tears his Achilles, one of the several players in recent memory here, and in the NBA, I mean, how many went through it? Just, you know, we had Tatum, obviously, Dame, Lillard, what we saw in Indiana in game, or what we saw in Oklahoma City game 7 with Halliburton. I mean, just the amount of Achilles tears is crazy. But so he tears his Achilles. He's bought out by Milwaukee. And I honestly expected, and I'm kind of surprised Dame goes back to the Blazers. He goes back to the Blazers on a 3-year, $142 million deal. I'm sorry, 3-year, $42 million deal, excuse me, rather. In return to Portland. And he's going to make a lot of money this year while he's obviously not playing and recovering. And I guess there was two ways to go about it. Now, he's got family important, played Portland forever, wanted out of Portland, wanted to go chase a championship. And I'm surprised he didn't do that. I guess there was two ways to go about it. They were willing to give him the money. They were willing to bring him back. He's getting paid for his rehab this year, all of that. And it made sense to go back home. But I would have thought he would have sat out this year, rehabbed, and then attack next year and look for a contender who'd be willing to bring him on to go chase a championship. And now Portland, who has made an amazing turnaround here, like I still don't think they're going to be very good. But if you just see what they've done, the Blazers traded Dame to Milwaukee in a deal for Kemba and Drew Holiday. Then they moved Drew Holiday, obviously, to Boston for Robert Williams and Malcolm Brogdon and a first-round pick. And the rights to a swap with the Bucks, so they traded for picks, they traded for players. Now they got them back. They've got Dame, they got Drew Holiday back, they got Robert Williams, and so they got both Dame and Drew. They traded away. They got them back. It's like Brian Cashman getting back. I know I relate everything to the Yankees, but this one happens to make sense. Getting Chapman back after trading him to the Cubs in 16, he signs him to a free agent deal. But now they have all those guys and the picks. Within 2 years, they traded away big-time players. Drew obviously goes and helps the Celtics win a championship last year. And within 2 years, they got the picks and the players back. But instead of waiting around, seeing what next year looked like, seeing what teams are available, could pay him, go chase a championship, he decides to return back to the team that he grew up with in Portland. So that's a fascinating thing there, obviously. Another talented player leaves the Eastern Conference to go out west. Even more of a reason. Now Dame obviously wasn't going to play all this year, but now in a short window of championships for the New York Knicks, Lillard will be somewhere else. He's going to be out on the West Coast. This Eastern Conference is wide open, not only now, but moving forward. And again, I know the morning show spent a lot of time on Karl-Anthony Towns yesterday with the jokes levied at him, really, from a bunch of different places over the last year or so. And clearly last night, Gillis with his monologue and the mocking of Karl-Anthony Towns. This is a big year for the Knicks, big year for Karl-Anthony Towns. I saw a report that Giannis is liking Nick or following Nick players on Instagram. That's a pipe dream. This is the team. And hopefully, as Gio was talking about this morning or yesterday morning, I hope that Karl-Anthony Towns understands how important this year is for him and the team and has one of the bigger off seasons after being mocked. Now, I know he's having everything questioned, from his sexuality to everything else, his toughness, all of that stuff is openly being questioned on award shows run by Disney, as Jane Gillis was pointing out as he was making all the jokes. Like, this is a huge season for the Knicks. It's a huge season for the... Like, Karl-Anthony Towns has been one of the best players in the NBA. He's been at his size, at his offensive ability. He's one of the tougher guards in the NBA and has been for a while. But he has occurred a thought of being soft. And this is a huge season for his legacy because the Knicks have an opportunity here as good as they've had since 94. Like, in the moment, I said this, and I know you got to go through the season, but honestly, the last time the Knicks, in my mind, have had as good a chance to win an NBA championship was heading into Game 7 of the 94 series against Houston. Like, that's from that moment till today, I have never felt as strongly about their chance of winning an NBA championship. I know they were good in 99, 2000, 99. They were in the finals. I never thought they had a prayer against that Spurs team. Like right now, I feel like this is the best chance. I haven't felt this positive about them winning a championship since Game 7 of 94.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The East has parted. This is a huge season, and to be openly mocked like that, I'm hoping, like Gio in the morning show were, that he's heavily motivated in this offseason. And I was hoping he'd be heavily motivated in this offseason to begin with, but now you're in New York City. You're not hiding out in Minnesota. We all watched the NBA playoffs. You were in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, you dragged them to victory in Game 3. You absolutely did. But other than that, a lot of question marks around what kind of player he is. And I'm hoping that he really responds to it. 888-808-1019. So a little bit of NBA news. We went over the TJ Watt and his contract, now the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL after his extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I told you how fascinated I am with the Steelers this year. Between Aaron Rodgers, that coach, their stretch of just mediocrity with the quarterback position and their record over the last handful of years, the way they've gone all in this offseason in a division that has Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow to go all in with an aging quarterback who's already kind of announced that he's going to be done after this season and all the headaches that it brings, it just feels like a fascinating time to go all in and a difficult time to go all in a difficult division. And it's so un-Steelers-like to make the trade, to bring in DK Metcalf, to make the decisions they've made. And with Watt, that defense plays well. With Watt, that defense wins games. They win games when he's in the lineup. And they've got one of the great quarterbacks to ever play at the end of his career, looking to prove that he can still play one more year before he calls it quits and does whatever the hell he's going to do in retirement. I just find the Pittsburgh Steelers extremely fascinating. 888 888- 888-1019. Let's go to Rico in L.A. What's up, Rico?
Hey, so you really trashed on one of the really great movies, on the movie where two of my friends who I worked with played in Val Kilmer and Michael Biehn. I mean, George Cusimano did a great job with Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
The performances they gave, I mean, one of them could have won the Oscar if they weren't running against each other in the same year. And that scene that really bothered you so much is actually a pivotal scene in the movie, because actually it's what made Wyatt turn around and resort to violence to seek revenge. Before that, he was saying, "Okay, I'm not going to be sheriff."
I don't mean to insult your friends, and without question, I totally agree. Val Kilmer, in particular, was excellent in the film. Absolutely excellent.
And Michael Biehn is Johnny Ringo. He was terrific.
Yeah, there's some very good acting in the movie. I'm not saying the entire movie is terrible. I don't disagree that that's a pivotal scene in the movie, and they completely botched it. It is horrendous. It is a horrendous scene. Him in the rain, staring at his bloody hands. It is so heavy-handed. It is so in-your-face and obvious.
It was a Shakespearean moment, the bloody dagger. It was a moment where he was grasping with the gravity of it. He lost his brother.
I understand all of that. Obvious.
From that point on, he went out. He became vengeance.
She runs into the street. She stares at him, and then she runs away. The whole thing. I'm sorry, you'll just never convince me otherwise. The movie is fine. There are some really there are some great acting performances. That scene is atrocious. It's atrocious. It's cringeworthy for me.
Well, I disagree.
We all have different opinions.
You disagree with me early in the off season when I called and I said, listen, I wasn't crazy about the Mets getting serious. I said they should go after a guy like Bellinger because he'd be a great outfielder. He could back up Alonso at first. And you're like, they don't need him. They got their guy. Bellinger is too old, blah, blah, blah. Match how many more games?
Thank you for the call, Rico. I appreciate it. I doubt very much. Like, I might have said I don't see him to the Mets, but I certainly didn't call him too old. I was very excited that the Yankees got him. And I think Bellinger has been obviously an excellent player, an MVP player in the past, and in the last couple years with the Cubs has been borderline really good to solid. And I was excited that the Yankees got him, and I don't remember bashing him as a player to say he wouldn't work with the Mets. I might have said I don't think the Mets are going to get him, or that I don't think the Mets are looking after picking up Juan Soto to add another big price tag like $25 million. But I don't think I would have dogged him as a player and said he's too old or anything like that. It wasn't a fit for the Mets, especially after putting all that money into Juan Soto. They weren't going to go and turn around and pay Bellinger $25 million, which is what it took to bring him to the Mets and trade away a prospect. Like, I just didn't see it. The Yankees were in more desperate need of the player than the Mets were. But, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have badmouthed Cody Bellinger. I'm excited about Bellinger, and he's had an incredible first half. If you take away his bad April, I mean, the dude's been great since April 20th. Since 4/20, Bellinger has been excellent. So he's been his play against the Mets right now feels like a season turner. It feels like something that's really, you know, sparked them and led to a 5-game winning streak. And he's been great. And the Mets need another outfielder, no doubt. And how about that? Cody Petit, who didn't even stick with the Cubs. How's that for a trade, all you Cashman haters? I just had someone again hit me up. I'm sorry, Chris. I know you like to drink the Kool-Aid, but I can't find any reason for any faith. I have no faith in this group. I have no faith in this owner. I have no faith. I have no faith in Cashman. I have no faith in the Yankees. All right, so you have no faith in the defending American League champs. I would ask you what other teams you root for. If you have no faith in the New York Yankees, no faith. In the way they handle business. No faith in the owner. No faith in the GM. No faith in how the season will end. What other teams do you root for? And if so, how the hell do you find any faith in your life? Like, let's be totally honest. I'm sorry. The Yankees are better to the Yankee fan than almost any other team is to their team. Like, every year. Like, you have no faith? They finish it off every year, other than winning a championship. So what do you have no faith in, that they won't win the World Series? Yeah, it's not easy. I don't know if I have faith that they can be a World Series caliber team. Yeah, I do, because that's what they typically give you. Like, I just can't imagine, of all the teams, like, and I've heard Jerry say this too, like, if there's one team in this entire town to give the benefit of the doubt to, like, how is it not the Yankees? I guess that's why, I'm different than most. I don't know. To me, the success they've had makes me give them the benefit of the doubt more than others. Like, Brett in Long Island constantly is like, you say you're a Giants fan, you're not a Giant fan. You talk about the Yankees completely different than you talk about the Giants. Yeah, because they're completely different. The Giants won 3 games last year. The Giants are consistently one of the worst teams in the sport. I know they won a championship more recently in 2011 as opposed to the Yankees 2009, but seasons are over by Halloween. The Yankees are in the ALCS 3 out of the last 5 years. It's different. Maury and Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. Hey, girl.
Hey,
that was
girl.
One of the best lines, I think, Shane Gillis did. He said, hey, mm-hmm. hey, girl. Yeah, it was pretty. I feel bad for Cap, but you know what? Give him some motivation to wake up a little bit, right? Maybe this will help him.
Yeah, let's hope he gets motivated by all this. And just the fact that he's losing. And just the fact, he called out by Rick Pitino and others for the shape he's in. You know, now he's being called out for everything other than that. Like, hopefully Carl Anthony Towns takes it upon himself to say, I'm tired of being called soft.
Yeah, I think here we go, Christopher. Both teams need to load up, get the trades, get them done, get them here. Let's see if we could both go on a run. I'm excited about the Yankees' second half. I think if our pitchers can get a little healthy, we'll get a little bullpen help. And if Volpe could just get better and more consistent, and then in big games not make an error, I think he'll be okay. But he concerns me. It's one of my biggest concerns going into the second half. And then tonight is your night, bro. Was all I could say. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Where the hell you been? It's not my fault. I'm here. I've been here all week talking for 5 hours a night. Where the hell have you been?
How would it count? I missed you. I knew it was a 5-hour one, and then I heard Zoo, you were talking about, I'm just excited to call in for you today.
Yeah, no, I'm nice to talk to you, Maury. And tonight is your night, bro. Listen, Volpe is going to be interesting, and we'll see. This is, they put out a story yesterday. I think I mentioned Marash talked to, because Marash, of course, had to text me and say, oh, you're stealing my takes. I didn't text you when you started talking about Clay Holmes to the bullpen, which I did in the Rico Bronya before the season started. But someone called me up yesterday and talked about his injury and that shoulder when he dived for the ball. And, you know, he jammed his shoulder and looked injured. And you could point back to that moment. I don't know about that. I think he's healthy now. Is there a chance he got banged up and got into some bad habits while he was banged up? I don't think they would play him through all of this forever if he was really significantly injured. But maybe he was banged up a little bit. Maybe he still is a little bit. But maybe he got into some bad habits because of it. I don't know. But that's no excuse. He's got to be far better. But my point is, hopefully this week off can help clear his head. Maybe make his shoulder feel better if that's an issue. Make his body feel a little bit better. Because this is the second half of Anthony Volpe's life. Like, I don't think there's any doubt. The Yankees can't. Right, depending on how bad it is, Alex Rodriguez was talking to Michael Kay and said you can't have a World Series team with a shortstop hitting .215. I don't know. In today's day and age, maybe you can, but he's got to be better defensively. He can't be .215 and make errors all over the place. That certainly can't happen. So if Anthony Volpe doesn't pick it up, at least in the defensive department, he might find his way out of a job here in the second half. I find that hard to believe because they don't have an option, and I don't know how Brian Cashman adds shortstop to the list of things he needs. So, I can't imagine anything, but he cannot be the shortstop in the New York Yankees next year if this continues. Anthony Volpe grew up a Yankee fan. This is all Anthony Volpe ever wanted to do, was be the shortstop of the New York Yankees. His dream came true, and he found out right now that dreams aren't easy. And right now, the fan base despises him. He is on the Gallo, Hicks, Donaldson level of disdain from the Yankee fan base. You can't even say his name. You can't talk about a gold glove that he won. You can't talk about his postseason numbers. Nobody wants to hear it. He sucks. He has always sucked. There was never a good moment of Anthony Volpe. He is trash. And the second the Yankees recognize it and boot his ass to the curb, they will be better for it. That is the fan. That is the opinion of 95% of the fan base. And he is well aware. And it's weighing on him. Hopefully the break helped him. He has to have a... Again, he doesn't have to be an incredible player. But in the second half, he's got to have a batting average over 240, over 250. In the second half, he's not going to bring up his overall batting average that high. But from this moment on, he's got to hit 250. From this moment on, he's got to have an OPS over 700. From this moment on, he's got to have an on-base percentage over 315. From this moment on, he's got to stop making errors and go back to being the defensive player he was in his first 2 years. Which, you can tell me it wasn't Gold Glove worthy, it was still pretty damn good. He's got to go back from this moment on being that player, or he's not going to continue living his dream. His dream will die. Because the Yankees are the Yankees. And no matter how much they love a prospect and no matter how much faith they have in this young man, they can't just give him shortstop forever as a 200 hitter. It doesn't work. I believe his previous success defensively and his postseason last year bought him this season. And I think that's fair, and I understand why the Yankees did it. But that's it. It bought him this season. That's it. I don't care how young he is. I don't care how much they think of him. He can't continue on the second half like he did the end of the first and expect to be the Yankee shortstop next year. It just can't happen. So this is a huge season, huge second half here for Anthony Volpe. Huge. And we'll find out what kind of player he is. Because things need to change. And he's got to be, first and foremost, changed defensively. But to the idea that he could just become a slap hitter and hit 280, like Alex Rodriguez said, he needs to change his mindset. Like, I think we all agree that would be great. Is he capable of it? We've seen him try. He's tried to make his swing flat. He's tried to play to contact. He's dropped his bat speed to try to play to contact. He was worse. Any level of success he's had has been swinging the bat hard. Could he level off the swing a little bit? Yeah. Can he stop dropping to his knees and looking like Babe Ruth when he's swinging and misses? Yes. But his game is to swing the bat hard. That's his game. It's who he is. He's got to find the way to be successful inside his game. And it starts tonight. Thankfully, we're back on. Game on! 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you in the Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. Update. We'll say good morning. And we got you for another hour all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Your calls right after this. We'll be right back.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping, whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.